Chicago's Afternoon News 720 WGN. I'm Lisa Dan. Steve Bertrand is here. On the phone is Alderwoman Michelle Harris from the 8th Ward. You've got a tentative deal and one more meeting of the City Council to ratify this. Is it going to get done, Michelle?
It's going to get done. We're working on it. We're putting all the final touches on it. We're actually going to have a subject matter hearing Friday so that the rest of the city can see the map and everybody across the city can have an opportunity to be part of this process.
So if you don't live in Chicago proper, Chicago's population came in at 2020 for the census at like 2.7 million residents. Each ward should have about 54,000 residents. And you try and have that ward, the people, the older people, represent that ward. And so the breakdown, tell me if this is right, in Chicago, about 31.4% white, 29.9% Latino, 28.7% black, 6.9% Asian. And for the first time, we have created an You've created an Asian ward.
Yes, we have. I'm really excited about that. She's a history maker, the new alderman of that ward, a female Asian woman who, Nicole Lee, who is just awesome.
And so it was tense. You know, you're trying to prevent this from going to a referendum because that would cost an enormous amount of money. But
yes.
Was it tense because the Latino caucus believed they were not fairly represented since 2011, since the last ward remap?
And I think they felt that they needed to make up territory, but based on how their population is situated and how the African-American population is situated, it made it difficult to give them exactly what they wanted.
So Chicago's, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Alderwoman, how do you get this passed then? Or because I'm looking at Alderman Villegas, the chair of the Hispanic caucus, says it went over his objections. How are you going to get to the votes you need, or how did you get to the votes you're going to need?
A number of the Latino aldermen are supporting their maps. They do not want to go to referendum, and so they've worked and processed in the map room to get to that point and get a map that they can live with.
So how many did you chip off?
We'll have over 41.
And that's all you need is 41, right?
We only need 41, but we'll be over that amount.
Was there any point where you felt the Latino caucus or people that were a member of that caucus disrespected you because you were a woman?
I did. I felt that the that Gil Villegas had gone out of his way to be disrespectful in the process. And as a woman, it's I think that a lot of the situations would have been a lot different. You know, I think they take sometimes the kindness for weakness and feel that they can walk over people who are kind. Like myself, I consider myself a kind person, so people, and everybody knows that. And I just, it's disheartening. And so I try to work with everybody and give everybody the opportunity to come into space, and I try to be as fair as I can given the obstacles that I'm up against. So, but I thought that the process had been, like, pretty tough. I think we're in a great place now, and the city will be in a great place so that we can move forward and really address the issues we need to, the new casino and other issues that are coming before the city council that are really, really important. And not that the map isn't, but we could have been through with this process months ago.
Now, Chairwoman, I just want to run this by you. You called yourself a nice person, and yet I'm reading an article here where you referred to members of the Latino caucus as crybabies. Yeah, can both of those be true?
Both of those are true. And it's only because, as we say in our community, after you've done all you can do, you can't do anymore. And at that point, I think they caught me on a day when I was probably super frustrated about what was going on and giving. When you're in a space and you're giving and you're giving and you're giving and you're giving, you just can't give anymore. And so I just think you see me on that day pushing back.
I consider myself kind, and I would say crybabies for me would be a kind word. I could come up with much worse. Okay, let's talk about that casino deal. What do you think is going to take to get that done?
I think that the city is now. You know, the money that we will be using from our the casino deal will go to help police pensions. And so, again, this is something that we don't want to burden the taxpayers with. So we have an opportunity to be able to find a funding stream that will help shore up police pensions. So I think that's what it means to us. That it's very important. It's an important considering that we'll be in deficit probably for another year, because even though we're going back, the economy hasn't fully recovered, and so I think we're going to need the extra resources to make sure that we don't have to pass it on to the taxpayers.
And so you believe that you'll have all the votes to get this through?
Oh, I definitely do. I think we worked really hard with the labor across the city of Chicago to get that peace agreement, which is really important, and another part that will help working people across the city to make sure that they're involved in this process, that contracts and stuff go through, and that labor will have a voice in it, because we are a labor town. We are a labor city, and so it's really important that labor has a real important voice.
Well, thank you for joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Glad you saved all the taxpayers what would be multi-millions of dollars by having a referendum.
So are we.
So it will be approved and finalized this coming Wednesday?
Well, we will actually have a subject matter hearing Friday, and then we'll do something probably next week in terms of approving it.
Alderwoman Michelle Harris from the 8th Ward on Chicago's Afternoon News. It is 2:25. Steve, were you surprised when the news broke yesterday that the jailer had indeed taken her own life in the situation in Evansville?
A little bit. At first we heard the Alabama sheriff say that she had been shot, and then the sheriff from the Evansville area say that she shot herself. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. Just such bad decisions there. And, it wouldn't have happened without her actions. And and now she's gone. And she's, I'm sure, left family behind.
I'm certain she left family behind. And they've got to be bewildered, because every time you heard the sheriff speak, you could hear the heartbreak in his voice that he felt like he had been duped, like he felt like he had trusted this person for so many years and just didn't know the person that she turned into.
You ever have one of those dreams where you've done something terrible and you can't get out of it, and then you wake up and it's like, oh, thank God, it was just a dream? I mean, I don't know what... I would love to know more about their relationship and how it is that she thought this was a good idea to collect. I mean, she must have been the one to collect all those guns, and unless they got them together after they escaped, but I doubt that. This was a very deliberate, very long planned process.
Inmates say the relationship was carrying on for 2 years when he was apprehended yesterday after he, after the accident, after she shot herself. He said something interesting. He said, "I didn't shoot my wife." And he identified her as his wife. So we'll get some of the details that haven't made the news from Brian Enten. He was actually in Evansville anticipating this yesterday. He's our News Nation correspondent.
That's my first question.
Yeah. he'll join us next, right after Steve's news on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.